Please stand for the doxology. Congregation, the choir, everybody here with your love and kindness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
God is real and you, but I've enjoyed these old 100s.
Amen.
I call them old 100s. That the old folk used to sing back in the day.
That's right.
Yes, God is real.
Yes, yes.
I can feel Him in my soul. Thank you, Sister Johnson. You sang that like you meant it. I think I want to hear some more of that. Church, can you stand and sing with her? Thank you, Sister Lee. Some folk who doubt. There are some folk who declare that there is no God. But we are grateful here at Second Baptist that the God that we serve is not a plastic God, but a real God. A God who feels what we feel. A God who walks with us and talks with us and tell us that we are your own. We bless your name this day through the reading of your holy word. We bless your name, our God, through prayer. And then we bless your name through the preaching of the gospel. I pray that you would look beyond my faults, that you would see my needs. Grant, our God, that the needs of your people will be met through the preaching of the gospel, through the great songs of the church. Thank you again for the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. Speak to us and through us. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verses 17 through 22. We find the basis for this morning message. And ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and one of the children of Kohathite stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth unto the wilderness to Tekoa. And there they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall he be established. Believe his prophets, so shall he prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come again to Judah, and they were smitten. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, "Neighbor, don't let your enemies ambush you. You ambush them." Oh, help me, somebody. The book of Chronicles comes to us chronicling the life, the legacy, and the love of the kings of Judah and Jerusalem. They come First and Second Chronicles, that we may be aware of what God has done in human history, how he has done what some thought was impossible using men and women of flesh. God is an awesome God, and he's worthy of all of our praise and all of our thanksgiving. When we look at this chapter in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it's a wonderful story about depending on God to fight your battles. It's a wonderful story that teaches us to praise God, for he's worthy of all of our praise. What would you do if three countries had conspired against you to destroy you? What would you do if the Moabites had come with two other armies ready to destroy you? They've come to make war with King Jehoshaphat. They've come from Eden. They're ready. They're already in Hazandan, Tamra. They are gathered. These are armies and men of war. Some of them, like the giant that David kill, have been men of war from their youth. And so they come now to destroy the people of God. When you look at the book of Exodus and Numbers, you will discover that God did not permit Israel, the Hebrew nation, to enter into the land of Moab. into the Ammonites. He did not permit them to enter and to war with these armies. And now they rise up against the people of God. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, God saved some of your enemies for later. Oh, y'all missing it. God saved some of your enemies to prove to you that what he has done in the past, he can do again. That what he has done before, he can do again. And so the messenger comes to Jehoshaphat and says to him, these three armies are gathered together. They have unified themselves that they may defeat the God of all gods and the children who worship the true and living God. I don't know how you would have felt, and I don't know how I would have felt, but I can think of some enemies that have come against me that made my knees knock. I was scared to death. But thanks be to God that God always has someone to stand up to his enemies and to say to the people of God, fear not. The Lord is on your side. And so here they are, getting ready to go to war. Here they are, wondering and fearful of what the future holds for them. These are no ordinary armies. These are no ordinary people. These are persons who have fought many battles and have won the battles that they fought. But the man of God, Jehoshaphat, stands up and speaks to them and says to them three things that I like to point out. First thing he says to them is, you do not have to fight in this battle. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, there are some battles that you don't have to fight in. There are some fights that you don't have to fight. And he says to them, you don't have to fight in this battle. All you have to do is position yourself to let God use you for the glory of God. You do not have to fight in this battle. Notice, God has already fought the battles for them. He has fought the battles for the children, the Hebrews, in the land of Egypt. He has already delivered them. And when you read 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you will discover that they are reminded of what God has done for them in the past. How God, through the liberator Moses, have brought the children of Israel, the children of God, out of Egyptian bondage. I really like that third chapter of the book of Exodus. It is in that third chapter of the book of Exodus that it appears that God calls Moses from being a caretaker of sheep to looking out for his people called the Israelites. It is in that third chapter that God speaks to Moses and says to Moses, I am the God that has heard, I've heard their cry. I've seen their affliction, and I've come down to set them free. That helps me to understand that the God that I serve, the God that we at Second Baptist serve, he hears our prayers. He is a prayer hearing God. It ought to be somebody in this place that can say amen to the fact that when you were sick and at the very point of death, that God heard your prayer. That God heard the prayers of somebody that prayed for you and lifted you up even when the physician said that there was no hope. I like the fact that sometimes men do not know what God has in store for others. And sometimes all we need to do is just have a talk with God. Our forefathers used to sing the song, "Have a little talk with Jesus." A little talk with Jesus makes everything all right. Not some things, but everything. If your body needs healing, call him up and tell him just what you want. If your soul needs saving, call him up and tell him just what you want. There are some battles that we don't need to fight. I've learned as a pastor, I've learned as a man of God, that you don't have to fight the battle when people gossip about you or lie on you. You don't have to fight that battle. Just hold your peace, and God will show others what he has planned for your life. And so our forefathers used to sing, "Talk about me as much as you please, but when I bow on bended knees, I'm going to tell God all about you." Is there anybody here ever told God about somebody that held you up rather than picking you up? Oh, y'all catch that on your way home. Somebody that pushed you down rather than lifting you up. God has a way of working his plan no matter what others say or do. And so it's up some battles that you do not have to fight. I think about that young shepherd boy, David, who declared that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I think about David when he stood before the giant Goliath. No matter how tall the giant was, no matter what kind of armament, no matter what kind of protection he had on, God can get around our tallness. God can get around the protection that we have around us because he knows where the weakest point is. And David stands before King Goliath and says to King Goliath, "The battle is not mine, it's the Lord's." It ought to be somebody in Second Baptist, when you're going through your struggles, saying to the world and saying to persons who would put you down, "The battle is not mine, it is the Lord's. The fight is not mine, it's the Lord's fight. Talk about me, act ugly toward me, but thanks be to God, God has a way of lifting me up, lifting us up, taking our feet out the muck and mire and placing it on a solid rock." Is there anybody here know the power of God? So my brothers and sisters, here's what the man says. He says to them, "You do not have to fight in this battle." And then secondly, he says, "Position yourself. Position yourself for God's help." Our problem in life is we do not position ourselves for God's help. We do not position ourselves for promotions on our job. We need to position ourselves so that God will work a miracle in our lives. You remember Moses, don't you? You remember how his mother positioned him in the river, in this ark, so that his life would be spared? She positioned her son to where his life would be spared. Parents, we need to position our children to where they can be blessed. Our problem is we say to our children, "I made it on my own. I made it on my own bootstraps. Guess what? God didn't allow you to make it on your own. You made it because somebody positioned you to be the principal of the school. Somebody positioned you to be the pastor. Somebody positioned you to be the Sunday school teacher. Somebody positioned you to be the soloist. Somebody positioned you to have victory in your life. He says to the people, position yourself. Position yourself to be used for the glory of God. Listen to what he said. He said, set yourself, be comfortable. And then he says, observe the Lord at work. That's powerful there. I'm going to position myself so that I can see God at work. That's what Moses said to the children of Israel as they stood at the Red Sea. He said to them, be still. Stop grumbling. Stop complaining. And see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we can't see what God is doing because we are busy complaining. Complaining about the worship service. Complaining about attendance. Complaining about the sermon. Complaining about the choir. Shut up. Stop complaining and start trusting God. Start honoring God. Start talking to God. God inhabits our praise. He waits on us. And so Moses said to the people, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Some of us sit still, not to observe what the Lord is doing, but to observe what other folk are doing, to observe what people are wearing to church, how people are acting in church. Don't worry about what a person wears to church. Worry about what's in their heart, what's in their soul. We did not come to examine your dress, to look at whether your tie match your pocket handkerchief. We didn't come for that. We came to praise God. And when you praise God, you don't have time to criticize. You're so busy praising my Savior. I keep so busy praising my Savior, I ain't got time to die. If I don't praise him, the rocks are going to cry. Glory, hallelujah. Don't know about you, but I don't want any rock crying out for me. I love the Lord. And I'm willing to tell the world, sit still. Observe the salvation of the Lord. Be comfortable in worship. Observe the Lord at work. Observe God's wisdom. Observe God's power. Observe God's creation. Do you not know that God's wisdom and God's power and God's glory are seen in his creation? James Weldon Johnson, that great poet, talks about in the creation, how God had created everything. And when he had created whatever he created, guess what he said? He said, that's good. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I'm good because I'm a creation of God. I'm good because man did not make me. I'm good because man, my living, my life does not depend on man. It depends on the grace, the mercy, the love, and the forgiveness of God. James Weldon Johnson said, after God had created everything, he said, I'm lonely still. I think I know what I'll do. And by the banks of the river, he sat. And then he took mud. He took dirt. Hell yeah. Touch your neighbor and tell you, I'm dirt. Oh, y'all don't want to do that. I'm dirt, but I'm good dirt. Oh, come on here. I'm good dirt because God has made me in his image and in his likeness and blew into my nostrils the breath of life. And I became what the Hebrews call a roar. I became a living soul. Because of the creation of God, I can sit and look and observe the goodness of God. The other day I looked in the mirror and I was shocked at what I saw in the mirror. I used to see hair black as 100 midnights. Oh, y'all help me here. I looked in the mirror and I saw all this gray hair. I said to myself, Lord, what are you doing to me? The devil said, you can get some Clairol and take care of that. Then the Lord said to me, I've allowed your golden moments to roll on. I could have taken you early in your life when your hair was jet black. I could have taken you when you were thin. But I left you around so that you could be a blessing to tell somebody that you were young, but now you're old. And you never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. God leaves us around so that people can observe how God has worked in our lives. God has worked in somebody's life today. They are now walking with a cane, but they're walking. They're now speaking with a whisper, but they're speaking. And guess what they say? If you ask them how things are going and what has happened, they'll tell you, God has been good to me. God has been good to me. God has blessed me, brought me through the storms of life. God has been good to me. When I look back and see what God has done for me, I have a praise. A praise for the true and living God. We need to position ourselves to where we can be blessed by God. I talk about that old man, that man that was by the pool for 38 years. He was not blessed for 38 years. But guess what? The Bible said they brought him. Oh, I feel my help coming here. Somebody brought him. Put him by the pool. They did it for 38 years, day after day. They brought him, positioning him to where he could be blessed. And when the Lord passed by and saw him, he asked him a question, would you be made whole? He said, yes, Lord, I would be made whole, but Reverend Mathers won't put me in the water. I would be made whole, but Reverend Ennis won't help me get in. The Lord said, I didn't ask you all of that. I didn't ask you for any excuses. I don't need you to be paralyzed by your excuses. All I need to know is, do you want to be made whole? And if you want to be made whole, you got to do something for yourself. Sit and observe the goodness of God. Said every time the angel comes down to trouble the waters, somebody that's in better shape than I am gets in. Don't worry about the person that got the promotion before you got promoted. You just stay there. Keep waiting on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So he said, you take up your bed and walk. My sanctified imagination tells me that after 38 years, he didn't walk, he ran. You see, if the Lord blesses you, you need to run, tell somebody. Tell somebody what good things the Lord has done for you. And so the Bible helps me to understand that the glory of God comes as we observe the creation of God, his power, his wisdom, and his creation. And finally, my brothers and sisters, listen to what the man of God says to the people. They are running fearful. And can I say something about fear? Fear is a lack of trust and confidence in God. Fear for the Christian is a lack of confidence and trust in God. Why should I be fearful of men and what man can do to me when God stands by me and is in me? Why should I be fearful about not getting a position when I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me? Why should I be fearful when all night, all day, angels keep watching over me? Why should I be fearful when Jesus has declared, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world"? Why should I be fearful when Jesus has declared that I am the light of the world? Why should I be fearful when Jesus has declared that I am the bread of life? Why should I be fearful when Jesus has declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? No man coming unto the Father but by me. Why should I be fearful when he says, "I go to prepare a place for you"? Why should I be fearful when Jesus has said, "I'm coming back for you"? Why should I be fearful when the angel said, "The same manner that you see him going, he shall come back again"? Thank God he became the first astronaut, took the wings of the air, went on to glory, and now sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercessions for you and for me. Why should I be fearful when Jesus is my portion? My constant friend is he. Fear robs us of the joy of knowing that the battle is not ours, that it is the Lord's. Fear robs us of the joy of being used by God and letting God use us. The third thing that this text teaches me is believe in God and seek God's help and his presence. Look what the man of God does. The Bible says that he turns to God and he starts to pray. And this prayer is a wonderful prayer, because what he does is he reminds God of his delivering power, that God is a deliverer, that God is a liberator. He not only delivers us from our sins, but he liberates us from the very depths of death and hell. I don't know how you feel about it, but I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank God for that man that we call Emmanuel, God with us. And since God is with us, we are more than conquerors. Since God is with us, there's nothing that we cannot do. Since God is with us, we become the evangelists. We become the people who evangelize the community, not worried about what people look like or what they smell like. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something about fishing? Not long ago, well, I guess it was maybe 25 or 30 years ago, Robert and I went fishing. We went fishing in Hawaii. And in Hawaii, the fish look like they just jump up on your pole. We went out. We were in this condo. We went out the back door, had a homemade fishing pole. And we were fishing with the homemade fishing pole. And every now and then, a fish would jump up, take him off the pole, put him in a little bucket. I said to Robert, "Robert, we got to let these fish go." He said to me, "Daddy, we caught these fish. And these are our fish. What we got to do is clean them and eat them." Y'all missing it. Let me just say something. Fishing and evangelism go together. When you catch the fish, Don't throw it back by being mean to the fish. Am I hitting anybody here? Don't throw the fish back by not demonstrating good hospitality or by telling them, we don't do things like that here at Second Baptist. We don't sing like that here. We don't clap like that here. We don't pray like that here. You got to go somewhere else if you're going to do that. That's throwing the fish back. But what you need to do is bring the fish in, clean the fish up, tell them about the love of God, tell them about the grace of God. Knock off the rough places and get them ready for the kingdom of God. Get them ready. Guess what? You smell like bad fish one day, but God took you and he cleaned you up and got you ready for the frying pan of heaven. Don't know about you, but I thank God that he runs me through the storms of life. He runs me through ups and downs. He fixes me so that when life journey is ended, I have a place to go. I have a Savior who cares for me. Why should I feel discouraged? Why? Why should I feel discouraged? I have a song. And you and I know why we sing. Somebody sing because they're happy with their job. Somebody sing because they're happy with their spouse. Somebody sing because they're happy with the accomplishment of their children. But his eye is on the sparrow. And I know that he watches over me. And I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I sing because I'm a child of God. I sing because my sins are forgiven. I sing because Christ died for me. I sing because I don't Calvary. He died. He died. I don't Calvary. And he borrowed Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb. He borrowed a donkey. He borrowed a stable. He borrowed a manger. But he borrowed a tomb because he knew that he only needed it for 3 days and he would give it back. And on that third day morning, he got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. He got up early that Sunday morning before the dew kissed the roses like a diamond kissing a bride's ring. He got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Is there anybody here today that know that soon as you start to sing, God puts a new song in your heart? The Bible says as soon as they start singing and praising God, victory was theirs. Is there anybody here that will help me sing for victory? Victory is mine today. Get back, old Satan. Victory. Yeah. Victory is mine today. First time I heard that song, Jackie and Robert Jr. and I had gone to bury my best friend, James Ferguson Brown. James Brown was a Pentecostal preacher who befriended me when I got to Virginia. And every Sunday night, I would go to that Pentecostal church, Jerusalem Holy Church of America. I would go Sunday after Sunday, every Sunday night, come in from Crozet, go straight to that holiness church. And at that funeral, Robert and Jack and I had arrived late. We didn't get a chance to see the remains. But I never will forget that just as they were getting ready to walk out the door, the choir started singing, "Victory, victory, victory's mine today. I told old Satan, get thee behind me. Victory is mine today." Don't know about you, but every now and then I have to tell Satan, get thee behind me. Victory is mine today. I don't know about you, but
I told old Satan this morning when I got up from my sleep, laying in the very image of death, get thee behind me, Satan, for today victory is mine. Today I'm going to praise the true and living God. Don't care what nobody else say, no word what nobody else does. I came today to praise God. Get thee behind me, Satan, for victory today is mine. Is there anybody here that knows something about victory in Jesus? Victory in Christ. Victory in the Lamb of God. Victory in the Rose of Sharon. Victory in the Lily of the Valley. Victory in the bright and morning star. Victory is mine. Know about you, but it's mine. And I don't know about you, but this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we pray. And all the people of God said amen. Amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. The door to my Father's house is standing open. We invite you to come. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord. You don't have to fight in this battle. God is already doing that for you. Position yourself to be blessed. Then trust in God. Believe in God. Choir sings.
What is this that I feel deep inside?
Yeah,
what
yeah.
is this?
What is this?
Make me wanna run on anyhow. Whatever it is, oh, it won't let me.
Oh,
my.
Come on, say it, Frank. What is this? What is this?
Make folks say I'm acting strange.
Yeah,
what is it? Make me want to call God's name. Whatever it is, oh, it won't let me hold my peace. Oh, you know it makes me love my enemy. Oh, and it makes me
love my friend.
Oh, it won't let me
be ashamed
to tell the world I've been born again. Oh, what is it? Got me feeling so deep right now. What is this? Make me wanna run on anyhow. Whatever it is, oh, it won't let me hold my peace.
Thank you, Brother Frank Riley, and to all of our soloists today, Brother Bagwell and Sister Joanne Johnson, all who lifted God up in a song. Thank you. Did y'all hear our bass guitarist today? I told Reverend Jackson, I said, something got into that boy that on that song. Amen, amen. I trust that each one of you will have a great week this week. Do not forget Wednesday night Bible study. Reverend Charles Thomas is leading us in our Bible study. We are studying the book of Romans. We invite you to come and to share. Those of you who have choir rehearsal, do not forget to come to choir rehearsal so that you can sing God's praises with the people of God after rehearsing. And then those of you who teach Sunday school, do not forget to prepare your lesson. And those who
Go to Sunday school. Don't forget to go.
Amen.
And now, my brothers and sisters, may the grace of God, the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now and forever. And all the people of God said amen.
Amen.
And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah.